to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, Hojack, Howard Jackson, tell us the name Hojack. That's just shortening your name. You didn't think of Kojak, Glowjack, or anything like that.
A friend of mine in college gave me that name. I had never thought of it before that, but he based it on Kojak.
Do you have the same kind of hair that Kojak did?
No, I have hair.
I'm getting there.
I have too much hair. I'm allergic to haircuts. I wonder, when are the aliens going to start warning us about corporate greed and, emerging fascist plutocracy and corporatocracy, or warn us about the cattle farting belch, more ozone-depleting gases than all the planes, trucks, buses, and cars combined. I mean, I can't wait to hear that particular abductee conversation.
I agree with you there, though. The chatter from the abductees is kind of getting old-fashioned. In fact, the other question I have is, are we even these days hearing too many abduction cases? Hasn't it been a while that we've had any reports?
What do you guys think? How come we've seen such a, it appears that we've seen almost a complete cessation of abduction reports? There's very, very few that come across my desk over the past few years. What do you guys think?
Before you do that, we did have an abductee on the show back in 2010, a guy named Doug. And I think his experiences were more recent. I had a conversation with him after that. He was undergoing analysis or whatever from the late Bud Hopkins. That's the last I heard of it.
It always seems to me that nowadays, it's so saturated into our culture that it's so hard, because they're so similar, to really separate real experiences from maybe other unusual things that are happening to people that they then put this abduction story around.
So you think the abduction story then is a shield to what might have happened, or is it something that they create themselves to hide the real fact or the real episode?
I think there are real things that happen. I also think there are other things that happen to people that psychologically they project this shield around. So I think there's a mix of a lot. I don't think there's one solution to it, but it's just so saturated in our culture now. How do you separate that?
Well, I think it's become a very powerful meme in the culture, but I don't see saturation of it. I mean, I really don't. Not like you did in the late 80s into the 90s. Maybe it was the communion effect after Whitley Strieber had such a massive success with the communion, first couple, three communion books. Then it almost seems like once John Mack died and the whole thing started to take a nosedive in terms of its popularity. But for those of us that kind of keep our finger on the pulse of this, of all these various subjects as best we can, I've seen a real decrease in mentions of abductions in the media, in terms of new cases or new claims. I have not seen anywhere near the type of attention that particular subject was getting in the 90s, let's say in the late 80s.
And it seemed to have died in the media sometime. I remember the sleep paralysis theory came out. And after that, you just kind of seen it nosedive in the media.
I think it's kind of like UFO cases in general, though, that the media in some ways causes extra, less genuine cases, let's say.
Maybe. I'm not sure exactly how we determine that with any certainty. It might just be bringing out more genuine cases because people are less afraid to bring them out. Returning to the topic of how do we separate the two, on the USI site, we have a sighting evaluation section, which talks about how to look at the different kinds of sightings that there are. And in terms of the confidence rating, we look at an abduction or a sighting, and we try to say, okay, well, did someone experience this in an altered state? Did they experience it with some correlation to reality? Is it some sort of assisted recall with some correlation? Is it a conscious experience and a recall of an event that's, say, more than 5 years old? Is it a clear conscious experience and recall of a recent event? And if you take all of the factors that are involved in a case, you can sometimes find that you've got actual, complete, conscious recollection of a UFO sighting that is complemented by the typical abduction facet. And so, well, those you might want to take a little more seriously. That's how we do it anyway.
All right. But, you know, I wanted to ask you something because it's implied by what you say, Randall. And that is that as a consequence of seeing the UFO, could that possibly trigger a mental reaction that expands upon the episode and fills in details?
I suppose it's possible, but then again, that's when you have to turn and look at, well, how much of the reality of the situation can be correlated to the subjective experience. So say if you have a sighting where there's, it turns out that there was two or three other witnesses that were unconnected to the original complete conscious recollection sighting of a UFO, and then somebody reports that there was missing time that they also saw the UFO, and then you look at the situation and you can correlate amongst the witnesses different information that seems to be far too coincidental to just be made up, you might want to take it a little more seriously.
Well, there's one aspect of UFO abduction research that kind of bothers me, but I understand it. And that is that some abduction researchers withhold a fact or a factoid about the experience and use that as a way to gauge whether the experiencer is telling the truth. Because if they mention something about this fact that's being withheld, that seems to confirm it, well, that indicates the abduction experience might be genuine. Unfortunately, as I said, they don't tell us what that factoid is. I understand their logic behind it, which is that if they revealed it, then anybody who wants to fake an abduction experience would be able to do so. Although I don't know how many people out there who report these experiences are really faking it. I mean, if you're going to fake something, that's a pretty frightening thing to make up.
You have a really good point there, Gene, and I think that that what you're saying is misunderstood by a lot of people. I don't think that what they're doing is saying that they've got necessarily one key item that they can compare to all cases, but they'll look at a case and go, okay, well, this particular case does have some facets that are unique to it, and therefore, if some other people start to comment on this case, we can look at that particular key for that case. Somewhat with the Zamora sighting, for example. Now, that wasn't an abduction case, but there was an insignia on the side of the ship that was seen, and that insignia, the actual design, was altered and kept secret for a number of years so that they can compare that with other people who might say that they had seen the same ship and know whether or not they were from that, if it wasn't the same, whether or not they were telling the truth. So each case could be entirely different. I don't think there's this overriding single key that we all know about or don't know about.
Yeah, I agree with that. And having become sort of peripherally embroiled in the Zamora insignia debacle that Ray Stanford was involved with, along with the Army officer who was there, I think it was Captain Holder and of course, Alan Hynek. The original drawing was found by James Fox and Ray Stanford this spring at the National Archives, and a letter explaining why this subterfuge was actually perpetrated and why this symbol was held back, which vindicated Ray. He was being called a liar by several investigators. And I just find it interesting. We're talking here about abductions, and I get this email just now from IFC Films, the Sundance Selects folks. And we have a new film by first-time director Maddie Beckerman called Alien Abduction, coming soon from IFC Midnight, our newest film, Alien Abduction. And it's produced by Lawrence Bender, who helped produce Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill, and Mike Fleiss, who helped produce Hostel, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And it has a bunch of actors and actresses who I'm not familiar with, but the tagline is a vacationing family encounters an alien threat in this pulse-pounding thriller.
I'll tell you what, we will encounter a threat if we don't stop now, and we'll continue with that. We have Ufology, Sentry, and Hojack. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Spring time is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Here on the Paracast, we have a listener roundtable featuring Randall Murphy or Ufology, Kurt Collins, Century, or Howard Jackson. Oh, Jack, and Chris was telling us about this new independent film called Alien Abduction. Some producers who seem to have a pretty big background.
Yeah, this seems like especially it's fairly big independent
Lawrence
film.
Bender, you know, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill. I love Kill Bill. Both
Yeah, parts. It was all right.
All right. And well, most of the actors are unknowns, although I guess they all have some credits.
Here's the tagline.
Sure.
A vacationing family encounters an alien threat in this pulse-pounding thriller based on real-life Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina.
You ever heard of the Brown Mountain Lights, Chris?
Of course I have, and they don't abduct people. They just sit there and light up that little valley.
Well, there was a guy named Ralph Lael that I interviewed with Geneva Hagen and also with Alan Greenfield, and he claimed to be in contact with the aliens who were in part responsible for the Brown Mountain Lights. But I don't recall him being a UFO abductee. But it's just another film. You know, I remember that other one, something about the fourth kind. Remember that one?
That was all proven to be pretty much a hoax, though.
It was just a film. I thought it was actually a decent film.
Yeah, it wasn't bad as a film, but it kind of got the Blair Witch kind of promotion to begin with to hype everyone up to thinking it might have some semblance of reality to it.
I think it's funny. I should mention that we haven't seen much alien abduction sensationalism in the media. And then I get this unsolicited email 2 minutes later announcing this new fairly large budgeted film about the subject.
There's some synchronicity for you, Chris.
And we can even get Maddie Beckerman, the director, for an interview. I don't think we have any reason to do that, but
yeah, it might be fun. I'd love to pick it apart.
Well, you know what? Let me write to them and see what they say. Of course, we'd have to get a copy of the film and evaluate it, and also see if they think that they based the film on any real events or they were just making things up.
Well, I think they wanted some like kind of backcountry folk in North Carolina to be starring in it, so they picked the Brown Mountain Lights as the most well-known, convenient, anomalous type of scenario from that part of the world.
But you're right, it's moved away from abductions more into this channeling and remote viewing stuff and flashing lights up in the sky and that sort of
thing. Yeah.
Well, the flashing lights in the sky could be anything.
Yeah, the Stephen Greer approach.
I didn't want to say it.
We're happy to say it. I don't think Stephen Greer is going to sue us. He's had plenty of time and he hasn't bothered.
I don't think anything's landed for him yet that we know of.
Not if you listen to him, boy. He's every time he goes out, he's the alien space brothers validate his megalomania.
Hey, well, that's it right there. We're being visited by alien megalomaniacs.
Well, anybody that can elect themselves humankind's ambassador to the universe and have the hubris and audacity to say, if you give me X amount thousands of dollars, I'll train you to be a human ambassador to the galaxy. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I really have a problem with that in ufology. For that matter, that's why I didn't join MUFON. And I'm not saying that there is a real big comparison there, but back when I first started USI, I contacted MUFON and I wanted a little bit of information. And they were so tight-lipped, they would do nothing unless I paid and joined and did and then sent.
Well, even if you did that, you wouldn't have gotten anything.
And it was just rather appalled because I was under this naive impression that this is a subject that everybody should be able to know about for free and that we should be able to spread this around as much as possible and let people know as a public service, if nothing else. So I set up USI and pretty much everything I do, I post for free on the website. I mean, I'm working on a book, but a lot of it will be the same as what's online. So
how do you monetize it? Just from the Amazon referrals?
I don't make any money off it. I've put the Amazon books and stuff up there, and I've had a few sales, but I've yet to receive a check. I just like having the catalog for the members, and it looks good. And can you have people can look at it and buy stuff if they want, or they can just look at the information that's on there.
I've got a question for you. MUFON's mission statement is educating mankind, benefit of humanity, something like that. What are you doing?
Oh, MUFON's motto? Studying UFOs scientifically, I think they claim, for the benefit of humanity. I'm really not so sure I've seen any real scientific stuff come out of MUFON at all.
Remember, you got to pay your $39 a year.
Yeah, I think it's a false claim. And for what I am doing, people can go and completely for free look at any of the articles that are on there, request information, I'll research it, and I'll write an article, I'll put it up there. Without charging anybody anything for it, just because I believe it's something that people should be able to know about as freely as possible and as honestly as possible.
All right, let's go to a question here. All right, MUFON. They sold the license to use the name MUFON for this TV show, Hangar 1.
That's what I wanted to ask these guys.
All right, so I beat you to it. That's more synchronicity. And I'm going to go round robin here. And that's not the place you get the hamburgers. Round robin, that's red robin. Round robin here, and I'm going to ask you about Hangar 1. Okay, Howard, have you seen the show?
Yeah.
All right, tell us more. What was your reaction?
It seems just like every other show that's out there. Although I will say I heard an interview with who's the director of MUFON now?
Jan Harzan. He's been on the show.
He was on a show I listened to, and he claimed there actually is a Warehouse 1 where they store files, which was news to me. I don't know if he's just trying to spin it, because it seems kind of silly to me.
That's not Walt Andrus' garage, then.
According to him, there's an actual hangar. It's the exterior of the hangar is what they show in the Hangar 1 show, but the interior is not what they show on the show.
Correct.
Yeah, but the show itself, there's nothing new there. It's the same information we've had from every other show that's been out there. Nothing new. I've tried to watch the first couple episodes of it, but I just kind of tune them out.
The thing that bothers me also about this is not whether there's a Hangar 1 or not, which I think is a minor issue. It is the content. Are they taking the content, giving us accurate versions of the stories? What about those fabricated, simulated documents that have become so controversial? Kurt, what's your feeling about it? We're going to split in about 30 seconds for a break, but maybe you can start now.
Even the cover of Edward Ruppelt's book was mocked up. It had it was called Unidentified Objects: The Shocking Truth, and I looked it up, and it was that was the name of a Kindle release of the book. That wasn't the original title at all. And you know, a picture of the cover of the book is easily available online or at your library. There was no reason to do computer, you know, phony graphics for that. But it's the content, as you say. These aren't MUFON cases. These are like old National Enquirer articles about UFOs that they're dramatizing.
And you know, then there's a problem with that, which we'll go into in the next segment. This is our first listener roundtable for 2014. We have ufology. We have Century. We have Hojack. And we have so much more to come on the show. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. and say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Here on the Paracast, our listener roundtable, first one of 2014. These are people who are participants in our forums, listeners of the show. Ufology, Randall Murphy, Kurt Collins, known as Century, Howard Jackson, known as Hojack. But it comes back to this, the long and short of it is that by putting MUFON's name on that show, people think, okay, this is MUFON's best cases. And as you say, guys, the depiction of National Enquirer-style stuff doesn't really help. Now, not that the National Enquirer is necessarily not telling the truth. We know in a few key cases there, real news stories, they did present accurate information about a certain former U.S. senator and vice presidential candidate who had a baby out of wedlock with his girlfriend. They broke the story.
Well,
it was true.
Also, Bob Pratt, who I looked up to and respected as an investigator, he wrote an incredibly concise and well-researched book on the Colaris cases back in the late 70s, early 80s. He was the UFO reporter for the Enquirer, and he spent a lot of time on the road out digging into cases as soon as he heard about them. He'd go out there and start looking into them. He visited the Gomez Ranch, I think, in 77, 78 in Dulce when they were having their right hot and heavy mutilation wave down there. So, I mean, for a while, the Enquirer was one of the best places to get news stories and up to date news stories on UFO sightings. Of course, you had to wade through all the I had a two-headed alien baby mock stories, but Bob Pratt did a very good job, I thought, for them.
Okay, now if Hangar One will stick to his material, I have no problem with it.
Didn't MUFON used to have a show that followed the STARS team around briefly? I remember a show where they actually went on.
It only lasted a couple episodes.
That was sadly, that's one of the better shows I've seen out there. Real people doing investigations.
The excuse that I've heard from MUFON people is that this is what the producers wanted, and for them to compromise the integrity and to do this kind of material. Because as I say, these are not, for at least for the early shows, they're not MUFON cases. They're, you know, scraps that are in maybe a folder that And like the well, one they did recently was the Aurora case, the airship crash with the Martian, and I think that's widely regarded as a hoax, and that was covered as if that was a genuine case, and there just was nothing of substance there. Is what I'm trying to say, and if that happened once in a while, I guess that would be okay. But just show after show presents things like the Jackie Gleason and Nixon viewing alien popsicles as if that's a real presidential UFO story. It's embarrassing. And I've heard UFO investigators say so.
Well, the worst part of it all is that the skeptics, the UFO skeptics, are using this as another vehicle in which to attack the reality of UFOs. They say, look, this is one of the major organizations. They're involved in this TV show with dumb cases. So how could you take any of this stuff seriously?
Since this is something that's really been bugging me, I'll continue to talk about it until you shut me up. But there was I got in touch with someone who had his case that he had personally investigated. It's pretty much an exclusive case, and they featured it on the show, and I don't want to say who it was because I don't think he wants to be identified or associated with it. But he felt that they just used his material without giving any credit, and worse still, they got everything wrong. And in discussion with him, he said it's almost as if the producers were trying to make MUFON look bad. And I started thinking, well, if they did, what would they do differently? If they were trying to embarrass the UFO community, and I was thinking, well, except for some, you know, green rubber Roswell alien fake footage, I really don't know what they could do because it's pretty bad.
Well, they definitely lifted some of my material that I published about identifying hotspot regions. And, of course, there was no citations there. The work of Dr. Lou Turi, which I was inspired by to do my research and come up with my ideas, they just lifted it. Lock, stock, and barrel, and I found that it didn't surprise me in the least. I didn't even yell at my TV.
Maybe you've felt like you'd like to throw a brick into the TV set.
No, I'm just you know, I think MUFON, really, their intentions, at least on the surface, appear honorable, and I think they really are trying to provide a public service, but I just always go back to that very uncomfortable fact that 6 months or so after the closing of Project Blue Book, all of a sudden you have the start of MUFON. And, you know, there's always been kind of asides and rumblings over the years that MUFON has always been compromised. And it's just a PR arm, basically, for the government to try to, you know, show that there's a civilian group doing some work. But nothing ever comes from it. Why go through, you know, almost 50 years of work, 45 years of work, and what do they have to show for it? I mean, except for a couple of good journal articles over the years every now and then, and maybe some statistical analysis. You know, you have to wonder about garbage in, garbage out, but they really haven't done much. I was asked to join and become a state section director, and, you know, I thought about it for a while, and I said, well, okay, a quid pro quo. I'll give you my material if you can give me some of the cases that I'm interested in researching further. And it was like, you know, I farted at a cocktail party or something. It was complete silence. And you know, I often joke back in the early 90s that God forbid a tornado should hit Seguin, Texas and hit Walt Andrews's garage. We'd have MUFON reports spread across the Midwest. I mean,
that might be the only way to get them out of that garage.
Well, no, they do have a database now that's extremely awkward and very cumbersome to try to pull anything out of it. But in theory, you should be able to go there and pull out information on cases. But you've got to have a bunch of very qualified dates, times, locations, that sort of thing, in order to really be effective with your search.
Of course, then how many more cases do we really need to be able to say, okay, we've got enough? There's enough people out there who have seen them. They've been tracked on radar. They've been photographed, even if the photographs aren't that good. But we can go and look up official United States Air Force archives. One of the best that I've found, and it seems to be really underused, it's called the Blue Book Archive. It's called bluebookarchive.org. You can go there and you can sift through the actual microfiche from the USAF files during Project Blue Book. And you can, I've pulled them up and I pulled some of them out and I've recreated them on the USI website. Now, I haven't taken them like you were talking about with other people and I've given them credit in the link, but I've taken the exact microfiche and put a paper background on them and clarified them a bit. And you've got things from the Chief Counterintelligence Division, Director of Special Investigations, saying in a document that when one of the F-94s that closed in on one of the objects back in the 52 cases that was being tracked on radar while being watched by the pilot in the aircraft closed in on the thing that it just zoomed away at phenomenal speed. And this is an undeniably genuine document. That case, we had two different radar stations, military and civilian, that were tracking them with people on the ground and pilots in the air. And yes, there were temperature inversions, and yes, there was some other things. But in the end, when you sift that out, there's enough there to go, no, there was also something else there. How many more do we need? We've already got hundreds, if not thousands, of decent reports.
Well, that goes back to the statement that I believe, which is that all you need is one case that you can prove 100%. That's all you need to show there's a UFO mystery. And the fact that you have thousands of cases only helps if we could get enough about each case to really show some kind of final answers. I don't mean Roswell. I think Roswell is just going to sit there and you're going to see a little bit of a spark here and there every few years, but it's never going to go anywhere. But you know what? We're going to have to go somewhere right now into a strange realm called commercials, the commercial realm. We have Sentry and Hojack and Ufology joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I see here we're getting the sepulchral sounds of Chris O'Brien. Don't ask me to say that word again. We've got a listener roundtable with Ufology, Century, and Hojack, and we're exploring the ins and outs of the UFO field. So I'm going to ask around the roundtable, do you think we'll ever solve the UFO mystery? And if so, how? Kurt Collins.
Easy one. I think it could take lifetimes. I mean, look at some of the different sciences and just, you know, and some of the sciences came out of some kind of shaky ones like alchemy, you know, or astronomy, but came from astrology. This may take a long time, centuries, to sort out. I'd like to answer to more of it. You know, I think it may be something for our race, not for our generation, to find the answer.
All right. Ufology.
Well, I'm not ashamed to say it. I think there's enough information out there already that any intelligent person can go out there and sift through it all and come to a reasonable conclusion that alien visitations are reality. It's that simple. They've been here. Whether they're here right at this very second, I don't know, but they've been here in recent history. And whether or not they're coming back, we don't know. We maybe don't know exactly where they're from, but we know alien visitations are real.
Okay, Howard.
I think only if they want us to know. It seems to be the only way. As long as there's an advantage for the government to keep a secret, and as long as they don't want us to know they're here, we're not going to know. The public in general is not going to 100% know that they are here.
You think the government really has any information that they're hiding?
I tend to think that they know they're there, but they don't know what they are.
Well, I think it goes without saying that they know. They've got the most sophisticated surveillance equipment in the entire world. They've got a space fence and satellites out beyond the moon. They're watching all the time. They know what's going on. Of course they know they're here.
Yeah, that's why they're that much more confused than we are.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean by confused? If they can see it on a radar well enough to scramble jets after it, that seems a lot less confused than somebody who doesn't really know what they're looking at.
Well, just because you're reacting to something doesn't necessarily know you know who the perpetrators or the players are and what their intentions are.
Yeah, we might not know all the real details, but I think we know enough to know that they're not from around here. They're real. They're alien. We've tracked them. We've chased them numerous times. And the people who have the equipment to be able to monitor and track them have been doing it for a long time and have to have a lot more information about them than Joe Public. That just stands to reason.
Yeah. Well, just the NRO alone. I mean, according to Ron Reger, who helped design optic systems and ran teams for the aerospace industry for 30 years, working on the actual optics of some of these very sensitive spy satellites and, you know, more public space program stuff. He basically came flat out and told me that, I forget what the date was, but he said pretty much every satellite put up into space that has any sort of monitoring capability is pointed outwards. That all these are giant UFO detectors. And he even had a talk called How Do You Build a $300 Million UFO Detector? And he very artfully got around some sensitive material and was able to lead you up to the question and then not pose the answer and give you enough information that you could discern on your own what the answer was in terms of camera resolution, state-of-the-art technology, what are we actually capable of doing? And the fact that someone like a colonel, retired Lieutenant Colonel John Alexander, would write a whole book on UFOs and never once mention the National Reconnaissance Organization, they know a lot more than we do, and that's why I think they're a lot more confused than we are.
Oh, I think the absence there speaks volumes, Chris. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But I also repeat what I said in the previous week's show, that our government is so disbelieved if the President of the United States came and said UFOs are real. In so many words, you can fill in the blanks. We have people like Fox News saying it was a way to hide the truth about Benghazi or the IRS scandal or Fast and Furious or something like that. Or Solyndra.
Oh, yeah. The skeptics would deny it until they basically got a mothership cruise. I mean, that's just the way that it goes with them. And
if they had a mothership cruise, of course, they probably deny it.
Possibly.
I bet you if Obama came out with an alien, you know, a little alien walking beside him hand in hand, that half the country would think it was just some big publicity stunt and wouldn't believe it.
Same difference.
Well, and that would be reasonable. I mean, the skeptics have a lot of really reasonable points. It's when they go beyond that that it starts to bother me.
Yeah.
They move the goalposts. They go far beyond what's reasonable in terms of their objections right into straight denial.
Yeah, the debunker. No, it isn't. No, it doesn't.
I kind of don't like the labels. For,
no, it isn't. You don't like labels?
Oh, well, no, there's believers, skeptics. I mean, when anybody leaves reason behind and they're just operating off beliefs, I just don't think you can get anything done. And that's what it is for so many people is they made their mind up early on the topic and then, you know, they're basically the eyes and ears are shut and their mouth is open and they continue to say, you're wrong.
Well, maybe some of them need, I think what it would take is waking up with an extremely sore butt with a note written in Klingon saying thank you for last night.
And if anybody here can say that in Klingon, I'd love to hear it. Anyone speak Klingon? No, I guess not. I was about to hear something there.
One show I have been enjoying, actually, I haven't seen the Hangar One, but I've been taking in, speaking of skeptics, the new Cosmos series with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And that's been fairly enjoyable. Despite his anti-ufology stance, it's a pretty good show with some great special effects.
Very good graphics and CG. And I think Neil's doing a good job on it. I think some of it is a little, how would I put this, kind of dumbed down and almost condescending to the viewer.
A little bit Astronomy 101 when we've already seen it enough times. But, you know, still a pretty good show. And
I think for the average person, yeah. I think it's a very, very good show. It's very educational. It makes you stop and go, wow, I didn't know that.
Despite my pro-UFO stance, I think it's incredibly important to look at the science as well. People need to understand real science, how it works, why the skeptics are skeptical, why the genuine scientists are standoffish. They can't really say, okay, UFOs are here, because they just simply don't have the evidence. If they did, if they had the kind of evidence they need to work with to be able to analyze it, put it in a spectrometer, look at it under an electron microscope, drill into it, take pictures of it, all that stuff, that's fine. They could do that, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to. It's just that, for the most part, they don't have that evidence. And my thing is that, well, I think we have other evidence that is just as valid for a number of reasons. People are very good detectors themselves. Our eyes, our senses are very good at picking up things and discerning what to do and getting us from A to B and seeing what's going on. And most of the time, we can identify anything that we're looking at with reasonable accuracy. So when something odd like a UFO comes along and a person sees it clearly, not too far away, enough to know that this isn't an airplane or helicopter or anything else from Earth that they've got in their database, and we're all pretty well educated these days, I think it's reasonable to say that they're actually looking at something alien and not simply the most latest spy plane or something like that.
Let me ask you a kind of left field question then. Do you think what people see in a UFO sighting is the actual phenomenon?
Well, yes, absolutely. If you're looking at something, there's a phenomenon that's actually having an impact on your sensory perception. So you've got photons entering your eye, hitting your retina. We know all about the physiological changes and the measurements of the eye and the retina and the brain and how it sees things. And just simply hallucinating things out of thin air is actually pretty rare.
I'm not talking about hallucinations here, but I wanted to raise that question. We'll get into more of it in a moment. Here's the requisite plug for the PowerCast Community Forums. That's at forum.thepowercast.com. That's forum.thepowercast.com. Sign up is free. It doesn't cost you anything to participate. And once you sign up, you'll be able to ask questions of our guests. We have a place called the Question Bank, where when we have enough warning, we don't always have enough warning about an upcoming guest, you get a chance to ask any question you want, and we do try to ask most of them during the show. A listener roundtable up front and center here with Ufology, Sentry, and Hojack with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.